ukutokro ubintimbrim farabutu bonka kisa freto mene manango freto nyonkonye mogege mogege mogege. Africa Global Radio, our story, our growth, our future.
All right, lords and ladies, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on the continent, Africa, the motherland, or outside of it. You're listening to Africa Global Radio. We're live on africaglobalradio.com. I am Prince Benjamin. Of course, you can call me PB. And we're back with another riveting edition of Creatives Corner. And I've got before me our guest for today. He's called Stevie Ni Edu Mensa. He is a singer-songwriter. He's a trained musician. He's an instrumentalist. He's an educator. And he is also a traveler, simply known as Mensa High Life.
Hello.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Prince.
You're good?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And it's an honor to be here.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you. Did I leave anything out?
No, Charlie, you more than summed it up.
Yeah, Charlie. All right. Mm. He's like a bridge between Ghana and Sweden. So he is Ghanaian. He's from the soil, in fact. And he is also in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. He's resident in Sweden. However, he travels around the world with his music and also his book. And he educates as well. Yes?
True.
Captured.
True.
All right, then. How would you describe the process that went into creating this song called Fam? Mm. It sounds like a double entendre, so like a family. However, yeah. I know it has a different meaning.
True.
Right? The primary meaning is then there's the secondary meaning, which is the fam or family I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Explain that to me.
Yeah. So starting with the title, Fam, obviously, it's about, you know, closeness to those that you love. And that's also like how the whole album is set up.
Okay. You have an album coming up.
Album coming up, which is, you know, all about connectivity with people that you love that are no longer here. So the first single, Fam, is called Fam because of family, of course, but also because of my brother who passed when I was 11 and he was 14, called Francis Ajay Mensa.
Okay, so his initials are Fam.
Yes.
However, he's family, and by extension, anyone who listens to this record is supposed to think of family members they might have lost.
Oh, yeah.
But they still share that unbroken connection with.
Indeed.
Wow. That's a rich meaning and perspective to write from.
Yeah.
And this is a single to an album that is yet to come out.
Exactly.
What time is it coming out? Just to get that one out of the way.
I'm expecting it between September and December of this year.
Last quarter of the year.
Yep.
That's when possibly. The album will be out.
Yeah.
Is this your first album?
This is my first album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is this the time to put out an album?
Great question, Prince. Well, because of the situation being that I've been so focused on finding my own sound musically. Mm. I started out as a producer like 20 years ago, just connecting with, you know, different artists and getting inspired by their sound, their type of writing. But I felt like it was too early for me to do my own thing because I hadn't found my specific sound yet, and I could feel that I was developing. I came from a very musical family. My father, Chief Mensa, was an amazing drummer who played with, you know, bands here in Ghana, High Life bands, before he moved to Sweden and played with, you know, some of the premier musicians in Sweden. So growing up, the household was kind of like a Joe Jackson situation
strict on you.
Very strict, like, don't play with my instruments if you don't play them correct, kind of thing. So I really never got the opportunity to train a lot in the house. I listened to musicians coming to the house, to, you know, his records, but I never really had the opportunity to play it. But now I see it as a good thing, because listening to music is is more than half of actually being able to play. And that's also what I got to understand later when I studied music in the UK. My mentor, Chris Wilson, who became my piano teacher, he told me that, yo, playing is one of the most important thing, of course, but listening is even more important than understanding what is going on. So, yeah, I felt like I wanted to do a project that represents people that had impacted me, where my brother obviously was one, and obviously my father, and the last person I mentioned, Chris Wilson, my piano teacher, who passed last year as well. And it made me really think that, yo, I have something that is genuine in this, because these are people that, you know, took me from depression sometimes into full passion. So writing these songs came so naturally.
So these are father figures in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Who were also in a certain real way therapists to you.
Indeed, indeed.
If you will.
Yeah, yeah. Right. There's mother figures on the album too.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
The story you told me.
Yeah.
But it's important that you also mention that there's that balance where mothers are also in the story.
Absolutely.
All right. So tell me about the relationship you had with Francis.
The relationship with Francis was so deep. Because at the time, 11 years old, I really didn't listen to my parents in that way, where I listened to my older brother, 3 years older. So it was like we were the same age, but still he was older. And he got me into everything creative at that time, like dancing, singing, rapping. That really was like my life at that time. And he was, you know, so fluent in everything. So Francis, he meant, you know, the world to me. And then the last summer we shared before he passed, we were here in Accra, in Dansuma, and we had the most amazing summer ever. And we were even supposed to stay here. That didn't happen because of different things. And so we went back to Sweden, and the December, he was killed.
Killed?
Yeah.
What would you like to get into? What happened to him?
I have no problem speaking about it because it's been, you know, so long, and I've processed it in every way. But at that time, Sweden was a very racist country, and you know, we had skinheads that were Nazi supporters, and you know, and we were living actually in a area that was very very racist at the time. So, you know, he came into a scuffle with, you know, some of the skinheads in school. And then when we went on winter holiday, you know, he was at a party and, he was attacked and killed.
It's a stabbing.
Actually, he was like attacked, hit, and then, you know, pushed like against the wall. He lost his breath and he passed, you know.
Wow. Sorry about that. I can tell the raw emotion. I mean, even before you got into how he passed. But have you found resolution creating this song, putting it out, we playing it on air now?
Oh, I feel that I felt resolution as soon as I started going into my creative space. Because as I told you, in the house, I was kind of like not doing anything because of my father. I was just taking in and listening. And then, you know, after my brother passed, my father, he left the country. He had come to Sweden in the 50s, had created so many bonds, and he felt like the country let him down. Because at the time, you know, even the police, they were kind of like siding with the Nazis. So my father, he couldn't stay in Sweden. So he you know, went Ghana, UK. And so basically I feel that for me, it gave me a space. And the first years were very hard. You know, I was just, you know, in my room looking at the wall, like I didn't do anything. But then when I came to, I felt like, you know, my brother, he inspired me being so creative. So me, myself, I started creating, you know. So from that point on, that's when I started going into instruments and singing and writing and creating.
Right. We're going to play the song again. I mean, given the story and the vibe in the studio, we need to play the song again. It's replaying in my mind, but I would like to share it again with our listeners. Before we do that, however, I would like to engage you on this. Given how tragic your brother's passing was, Francis's passing, and the country where this happened, right? Does it color your relationship with so-called white people? Like, how have you resolved or how have you processed, you know, because even people who have not gone through similar or worse as you have, they stand as spectators and say, white people are this, white people are that. But you live in Sweden, you live also in Ghana, but you've experienced this very tragic, you know, passing of your brother you know, at the hands of so-called white people, right? Does it say to you, all of them are like that? How have you processed it?
I mean,
how did you process it before and how is it like now?
Before, at the time, I was very hateful. I harbored so much hate in my heart and I really, you know, I was thinking very negative thoughts. But then I just, you know, I dove into the music and creativity and it really opened up my heart. And I connected with people that were like-minded with every hue, you know, black, white, you know, red, yellow. So that really, you know, made me understand that, you know, people are people. There's good people and there's bad people in every race. But still, I won't lie, like, through the years, there's been difficulties. Obviously, when I see similar patterns in white people that, you know, may have been the patterns that the people who killed my brother had, instantly I react, you know. I'm a teacher since 20 years back, so I've seen every type of student and I've handled every type of kalabule. But when it comes to racism, you know, it's like I see red. And I don't know if I will ever be able to handle that situation and be calm when something happens.
But at least when you're playing with people who look like them or different races, you find it's like a haven in that moment for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just that you've got triggers from that trauma.
Exactly.
Right. Man, life.
Yeah.
Life. And it's all poured out into this song. I love the beginning. As it rolls, it's called Fam, a tribute to a brother and a musician.
Thank you.
That's Mensa High Live and his record, a single to his upcoming debut album, which should be out possibly in the last quarter of 2023. This record is called Francis Ajay Mensa, simply called Fam. And if you're thinking family, yes, that's what the song is about. That Francis is his brother who passed, and he told the dark story of how he lost his life. But he celebrated here because Francis is the one who also helped him navigate and explore his talents, which today has sent him around the world, right?
Indeed.
Yes. Indeed. And Mensa High Life is here. Yes, you'd like to say something?
Yeah. Even though there's darkness behind people passing away, you know, and some stories are darker than others.
Yeah.
The whole concept of the album is light.
Right.
You know. As we are Ghanaians, we, you know, we go through the mourning process, the crying process, but also the, you know, lifting up and enjoying the life that we lived with the people that passed.
We party.
Yes.
The party jollof at the funeral. Uh-huh. We dance at the funeral.
With the jollof and the,
yeah, you know, the booze and everything.
And the fufu.
Yeah.
So the whole album is that day, the last day, when we dress in white, right, and we, you know, celebrate the life.
Right. And that's why I guess the song has these moods. It has the dark side, and then it breaks into jubilation, and then it comes back to a bit of the gloominess, and then it resolves.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so, so that's exactly how I'm kind of envisioning every track, but it's not gonna be like every track sounds the same,
right?
You know, still there's still my, you know, arrangement skills in it, but that's kind of like how I'm envisioning the project.
Right. What are some of the stories that you've already mentioned that you celebrate the men in your life?
Yeah.
Belated Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Thank
you. Right. So you also mentioned that you celebrate the mothers on the album. What are some of the themes and subjects and, you know, muses that you have?
Okay. There's one female that was a heavy influence in my life when I was younger, called Bahati, and she...
That's an Indian?
No, she's Burundian, Congolese.
Okay, right.
And she was very close to my mother. You know, they danced together. You know, my mom's a professional dancer. So when they came to Sweden in the 70s, they became very close. And you know, she introduced us, our family, to Congolese music, which, you know, had a lasting, you know, impression on, you know, us, and even, you know, the way my mom danced, even though she came from a, you know, traditional Ghanaian background, you know, with Panlogu. But yeah, she really influenced us. And when my mother was touring, she was like a babysitter to me, but I saw her as an extra mother, Bahati. She told, you know, stories. I think she's the first person that, you know, impacted me with, you know, storytelling. Her storytelling skills was immaculate. Really, really like dark stories about, you know, Congo and Africa. And that made a lasting impression on me and my life and my love for writing and storytelling. So I had to give it to her. And she unfortunately passed in 1990, when I was a small boy, and of cancer.
Wow.
But she was like a fighter till the last minute. I remember us going to the washing room when she went into, you know, the dryer. There's a kind of like a place where they have like a room that is a dryer room. And she went in there, and it was very hot there. And I was like a small boy, but I was like saying like, whoa, how come you are there? It's hot. And she's like, oh, no, I'm just hiding. But I later got to realize that it was because she was very cold because of the cancer. So she was really active until, you know, the last minute. And she was, so I will always remember as that happy spirit, you know. Sometimes when people get, you know, sick, they like everything that shuts down. But I never saw that period of, because even last time when I saw her at the hospital, she still had that life in her. So yeah, she made a lasting impression in my life. So that single is coming out in July.
Okay.
And it's called Bahati.
Wow.
Mm. And
what a story.
My mom is actually playing drums on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, can I applaud before I hear it?
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted every song to really relate to the topic. And, you know, yeah, she's doing ad libs and playing drums on it.
Right. So darkness, light, death, resurrection, or rebirth. That's like what the album, the story of the album in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That cycle, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But still, a project that you can enjoy, that dance, you can play out, that you can dance to, you know.
Yeah. That's the tricky yet exciting thing about music, right?
Yeah.
There are some of the saddest songs that have the most danceable beat and music, right? And the music says one thing and the lyrics says another thing, but they unite and find purpose as a song, right? I guess that's why they say when you're happy, you know the music, but when you're sad, that's when you hear the lyrics.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah. My colleague here in the studio, Emmanuel Kennedy, he mentioned that the song sounds like Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones, one of their classic songs.
Wow.
Yeah. Just thought to mention that.
Yeah.
That's the feeling that came to him when he heard the song. And that song is about the darkness of man.
Yeah.
Like,
indeed.
And it takes me back to, you know, the tragedy, right? But also there's the celebration and the groovy bounce.
Yeah.
Also in your record that brings us hope. And we'll see him again on the great day.
Definitely.
We'll see him again.
Yeah.
There's something that you said, I guess it segues nicely into the next song that we'll play. Mm. It's called right?
Yeah.
And that was said by Bahati. Did I mention her name right?
Yes, Bahati.
All right. Mm. So let's play this record and then we'll get into the details of your book, which has the same title, and then that utterance by your mother, right? Yes.
It's cold,
saying in Ghana that I would like to share with you, wherever you are outside of the country, Ghana. It says tintontin. Yeah, no men sano na ye fa jing. Which translates into English as, of course, I can't say the tintontin bit. That one has no English translation. But what is said after the tintontin, yeah, no men sano ye fa jing, what it means is, as we celebrate and have fun, we also are thinking, or, you know, thinking through life issues, right? So it's not just reveling, if you will. It's also a time to ponder over issues, you know, and that's the energy that I'm getting from your music, right? It's cold. Mm. You are from the diaspora in Sweden, right? And we could even, so as an art piece, a lot of people listening to this and hearing that refrain or that chorus, it's colder, right? It would just hit them. Is this my story? Even before they get to know the lyrics, the other things you're saying in there, it says something to them because it's cold out here, right? And then there is the figurative thing we say where we go like, it's a cold world.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there is so much, you know, that could be gleaned from this when you appreciate it as a work of art.
True.
However, I believe from the story you told us, it's the utterance by your mother's friend, is it?
Bahati.
Yes. Was that because you mentioned how she was at the washing, you know, station, and she was at the drying?
Yeah, went into the place. Drying room. Yeah,
and that was quite a hot place, but she couldn't feel it, and you didn't know at the point.
I didn't know at the time,
right? But she was cold.
She was cold.
Is that the muse for this record?
I think initially that was what it came from, because that has always stuck with me. That you know, that
it's cold.
Was cold, and I really didn't get it. But then, because at the time, 1990, I was what, like eight, boy. Nine, you know.
Right.
So, but as I grew, I got to understand that, yo, Charlie, it's a cold world too,
you know,
in other ways.
Yeah.
Than physical things.
Right.
So yeah.
Oh, so the impression I had is right.
Oh yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm. Okay. You have a book that has the same title.
Yeah.
And it's a book that you've been traveling with.
Indeed.
Right. Talk to us about it.
Okay. It's called started as the song, obviously, but I wrote a book in 2016, 2017 that became a kind of like a school curriculum as it deals with so many things that we go through in the schooling system, but also outside school. But I wanted to target schools because I'm a teacher. And so the book is about two girls, Amma and Euphoria. Amma is being bullied because she has gray hair. They are both nine. As they start class three, Euphoria becomes very popular. She's a great dancer. But her and Amma, they've been best friends since they were three. But as Euphoria becomes popular, it's kind of like she puts Amma to the side a bit. And the other friends, they tease Amma, obviously. They, you know, she's old to them. They call her Yomo.
And they call her what?
Yomu.
Yomu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inga, which is old lady. So
right.
She doesn't care because her mentality is like, they will grow up one day. And,
right.
And she's very focused on school. She's acting like she's actually quite old in her ways or matured in her ways.
Right.
But one day, Euphoria is impacted by their words. Right. So once they go home, every day when they finish, they are neighbors, so they go to the beach, they put their feet in the water and they look out and they daydream about their future lives. So one day after they've done all that and they come back to the house to eat, Euphoria, by mistake, says the word Yomo to Amma, and she really takes it to heart. And instantly, the weather starts getting cold. She doesn't realize that it's her, you know. So it continues happening. But every time she says it, only when Euphoria says it, the weather gets colder and colder. Which also impacts, obviously, Amma, but also everyone in Ghana, ultimately. And when they realize that, oh, this is what it is, they, you know, they find themselves again and they become friends again. But then the weather is very, very, very cold. So then they have to kind of save Ghana.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And what are some of the reactions that I'm impressed that I guess I've got my head screwed on because how I appreciated the song when it played, like it seems that's what's really the book also captures, you know, in bits and in different ways.
Yeah.
So figuratively it's cold, but it's also cold, but in actual sense it's also cold.
Yeah. So so one of the main themes or main inspirations behind it is to kind of like kill bullying, you know,
right,
which is a problem everywhere. You know, I've been teaching here in Ghana, Sweden, America, and the UK.
For 20 years.
Yes. And bullying is a problem everywhere you go. And it's not anything that is being highlighted. So it you have to go to the corners to find it somehow because no one wants to talk about it.
Right.
But having these workshops where we read, we sing, and, you know, we talk about what is behind the situations, the matters, it really brings out a warmer side of the students and they start integrating in a way. So what I've noticed is, you know, going from one school and then coming back to that same school, I've really noticed a change in tone.
It's not cold anymore. It's warm now.
Exactly. It's getting warmer and warmer for every situation. So, so from everything I've done in my 20 years of teaching, this is the most impactful thing I've done. And I've been to over, over 20 schools in Ghana. And now we are doing it as a intercultural project where I have a school in the UK, a school here in Ghana, Osagyefo School. I have a school in Sweden, Säterskolan. So we have Säterskolan in Sweden, Rivoli Primary School in the UK, and Osagyefo School in Labonie.
Are these funded by you? Did you found them?
Oh, yeah. Initially, like, everything was by me.
Okay.
So now we are having, like, classes together, you know, through Zoom, and also, like, we
You've linked these three schools.
Exactly.
That you are a founder of.
Yeah.
In these three countries.
Oh, no, I'm not the founder.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm not the founder of the schools. But the initiative and the project is founded by me.
Right, okay.
But I've brought them together.
Okay.
So now they are working on, you know, the same book and, you know, the tasks behind the book. And they are creating tasks that has to deal with global warming, bullying, future goals, friendship.
Right.
And, you know, they prosper so much from it.
Wow. Wow. The amazing thing about life is we go through a lot. We suffer traumas. We have our own challenges. But you find these very people who've been through the worst who become healers, right? They take it upon themselves to travel the world, travel communities, you know, and spread kindness and sunshine. And it's quite like, it's quite an impressive thing.
To me, I feel like I had no choice. To me, it was either death or prosper. I mean, it was either negativity, you know, drugs, criminal activities, you know, or the opposite. And I think that's kind of how I see things now. Anytime something negative happens, I always manage to find the positive in it and utilize that. So I don't ponder too much on negative things that happens.
Right.
So I think that's how my life has been since, you know, since my brother's tragedy.
Singer, songwriter, he's an arranger, he's a composer, he's a musician, he's an instrumentalist, he is a traveler, and also he's an author. His book is called It's Coldo, and there's a record that buttresses the song, which we played. Are these songs on the DSPs, the digital streaming platforms?
Yes. It's Coldo I never released like on Spotify and Apple. I definitely will in the future, but it's on YouTube.
Okay.
It also has a nice video to it on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
Fam and all the other songs will be on Spotify. They are, or they will be.
Okay. Shortly. All right. We're getting some exclusives here on AGR. So if you're tuned in now, we're blessing your ears. You're hearing stuff that others will hear later. Yes,
definitely.
That's what we're doing here. It's our story, our growth, and our future. AGR, Africa Global Radio. And we're live on africaglobalradio.com. I am Prince Benjamin in conversation with Mensa High Life. And it's spelled M-E-N-S-A-H-I-G-H Life. L-I-F-E. Mensa High Life. Together in caps. That's his brand. That's his name. What song do we listen to next?
We could listen to
Kake Nakai.
Yeah, right? Kake Nakai.
And then
we can listen to it. Gully. Yeah. Gully is from the project, which is the second single. And Kake Nakai was the first track that I released in Ghana. I did a video of it. And I think it was played on the Delay Show back in the day. Like it's 10 years ago that I released this track.
It's a celeb status record.
Yeah, it was premiered on the Delay Show.
Oh, nice.
Hey, I feel like sort of happy. Hey, like me very much, even though I'm not that dance. My style don't usually rapsy. I'll be the one that take trolls and taxis. I don't like backseats. I love it when haters say my name in the maxis. Parties, they never invited artists. Blackie, yup, in Europe they got just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping up to the light proper. No, Kake Naka. Just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper. Ho! Kake Naka, Mife no go wrong. Kake Naka, just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper. Hey, mini of your market. I'm trying to get prices down at market. Market, I'm talking me but haven't reached a target. Down and out, still judging all this cafe. While I am up for it, I might be scared at times, but I'm focused. There might be tears and smiles, but we made it. Living out our text, then we always remain faded. Kake Naka, Mife no go wrong. Kake Naka, just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper. Kake Naka, Mife no go wrong. Kake Naka, just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper. Kake Naka, Mife no go wrong. Kake Naka, just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper. Kake Naka, Mife no go wrong. Kake Naka, just singing my song, Ole Papa. I am now stepping out, living life proper.
Kake Nakai, and it's by Mensa High Life.
who is hobnobbing with us this afternoon in Accra, Ghana, from the studios of AGR, Africa Global Radio.
Indeed.
Wow. One thing that stands out for me in your songs is the varied grooves and tempos, right, in each song. So there is, it's not monotonous. Yeah, it has some surprising bits as it rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's intentional, I guess.
I don't know if it's intentional or if it's just that, like, I told you that my father was, you know, he was a heavy percussionist drummer.
Right.
And, you know, all he was doing when he was sitting in the house, you know, it was like playing, drumming, doing different beats and things. So I think that when I started producing, it was just in me, like, you know, just playing around with rhythms. And I've never been a producer from when I made my first beat. I've never been a producer who's done the whole copy paste thing. Never,
right.
Ever once. As you know, the first beat I made from 0 to like 4 minutes, I was playing the drums all the way through. And that's how I do every song. Now, mostly I use live drums. I play live drums. But right. When I started producing, you know, in you know, using the small keyboard for Logic, I was, you know, always right. playing the right. drums like I'm playing it live.
Right.
The same with any other instrument, really. Mm. So even though it's a produced track, you get the live feel kind of. You get, you know, you get the shift.
Right. Mm. Right. So you're from the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And 80s, 90s, 2000s. Mm. Very soon we are getting into the 3000s. Are we?
Hey, 3000s?
No.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, but we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but time was quick, so yeah, you're right.
We wouldn't be here, but you're experiencing from your time, from the 80s, you're experiencing a lot of changes technologically, musically, when it comes to the movies, right?
Mm.
How do you appreciate the changing sounds and scenes, right? From your lens as a creative, a record producer, a singer-songwriter, how are you processing the changes? Because even the 90s had its own pretty swift changes, you know, compared to the 80s, right? And now the 2000s also came in. So if it's with music, you notice that at least in the 90s, the rap phenomenon became quite big,
huge.
Especially on the on these parts, right?
Oh, yeah, the hip life. Parts. Yeah, of course. The
hip life in Ghana. Yeah. There was a time in, if not the 80s, then I guess the 70s, rock and roll was a huge thing.
Indeed.
Right? So you would be familiar with a bit of that.
Yeah.
Tina Turner and the rest. Right? Michael Jackson was in the fray between the 80s and the 90s.
And the 90s, yeah.
Also, we had Afro beats come up, right? Which has now matured into a giant on its own.
Absolutely.
So you've experienced all these changes in sounds and music and perspectives. How are you processing it and what's your view on the change?
I think that, you know, all that you mentioned has had an impact on me. Mm. You know, especially being a Kubolo in the 80s.
Right.
You know, traveling, you know, through Ghana, the UK, the US, Sweden. You know, in the 80s, as you said, from the 70s and the 60s, rock had, you know, a big hold commercially. On, you know, radio, on TV, we had MTV. And you know, I grew up with all those.
Right.
And then hip hop was also slowly coming up.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, a sort of a first peak in the 90s, I would say, that impacted me and my bro and all. Coming from a very traditional family, we had, you know, the traditional Ghanaian music. Mm. We had the high life, you know. My father was a huge high life.
Bandsman.
Yes, and, you know, a player and a fan, you know. So we had all these, you know, albums there, you know, Alhaji K. Frimpong, the Sammy Latte, the Ibo Taylor, I can go on and on. So we grew up with that. And, you know, I think that my music, therefore, is very fusion. You know, I have these, you know, chords that are very, you know, maybe soulful. But, you know, the rhythm is mostly, you know, from Ghana, I would say. And also, you know, the songwriting, the rock music of the 80s was very, very good songwriting, you know, 80s and 90s, you know. So I think not intentionally, but, you know, unintentionally, it's impacted me. So when I create, it's free, but it's definitely painted by everything that I've listened to and been influenced by.
What do you think? I spoke to Mensah, right?
Yeah.
Also a singer, songwriter, educator as
Mensah
well.
Mensah is a great guy, a good friend of mine too.
Right. So he is Mensah High Life, and then there is Mensah as well.
Yes. And funnily enough, we both work with One Love, you know what I mean?
Yes. So that's your convergence point. One Love is your convergence point.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you were a Kobolo. So,
yeah.
So it's like, because One Love is Kobolo by name.
Of course.
And also story. I mean, so it's an interesting, you know, thing. Anyway, I spoke to him and he made some interesting observations about Afrobeats. So he feels, in his words, music should be punk. It should always have a meaning. It should have a revolution.
True.
It should have, it's a movement. For him, that's how music should be.
Interesting.
And he feels Afrobeats lyrically is not interesting. Right? I'm paraphrasing here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For him, it could be better. Of course, he granted that there are some individuals in there who are writing some really interesting, you know, things.
Yeah.
However, he thinks the general feel, the average Afrobeats record is just bubblegum.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What's your observation as a trained musician and a singer-songwriter, someone who, you know, teaches music? What's your observation on Afrobeats, both pros and cons?
Yeah, I feel like I agree with Mensah. Unfortunately, we are not matching the music, which I think is exciting, with the lyrical content, unfortunately. There's so many stories in Africa that we are not sharing in our music. It's almost like, oh, Charlie, it'd be too much, so make I put it to the side and write about love. And when it's love, it's mostly just one perspective. It's not, you know, because love is so rich and so deep. But unfortunately, we place ourselves in the same, you know, space to create. Unfortunately, like, and I don't want to, you know, this millions and millions of musicians who are active, but I'm specifically speaking about the commercial music, the commercial Afrobeats, the commercial African music, which I feel is lacking, because I know there's so many, I have so many friends, I know friends of friends, I know people who are creating amazing music, but they are not in the mainstream. So they are very much talent, but unfortunately they are not getting highlighted that much, and that's why it's an honor to have people like yourself who's definitely highlighting the diversity.
Let's talk about the record also for a minute, and I'll take more reactions for the music scene now. Kakenakai, that's gone. My parents speak it. I know very little of it. But what does it mean?
Well, to me, it means like, don't say that. Don't do that. And I basically wrote that because of being in a situation where people are telling you what to do. At the time, 10 years ago, you know, once, you know, in Ghana culture, once you grow, people have expectations of you. We all know that. I think one thing that was, you know, bullying me 10 years ago, I'm laughing. I shouldn't laugh when I say bullying, but it was like, oh, me, when will you have children?
Tell them.
Not specifically by my own creator,
yeah,
but, you know, people close to her. And so...
Ni, it's not only you. It's not only you. The ladies think it's only them who are bullied or asked that question. Yeah. But we get the same questions.
Yeah.
I've been getting it recently. Today, someone has been harassing me in the studio.
Oh,
seriously. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good. So
I want to give her a shout out, but
okay. I mean, go ahead.
Right.
But I always put my, you know, thoughts and my feelings into my art. So yeah, I wrote that song to you know, I'm a original, like everyone should be, or everyone is, but sometimes we are made to do what the next person is doing, but we all have different DNA. So we should find our way and our happiness. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, go and do what your brother did or what your uncle did, and you know.
So you're charting the path of originality. It's you're an individual, even though you belong to a family unit or a community. You are also an individual, and the interesting thing about life, I guess, is there is the majority that goes as the rest go, right? And then there is the others who also choose to go a different path, right? And life is flexible and elastic in that sense, to make room for those who want to go this way and those who want to go the other way.
Definitely.
Right. As long as you're not being a danger.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. As long as it's not negative or, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, following a passion is 90% of the time positive and inspires other people. And, you know, from day to day, people inbox me, call me, and then say, yo, Stephen, you inspired me. Yeah. I just the other day, just like 6 days ago, one guy that you know, I have so much respect for, Beat Menace, said that you inspire me every day.
You wrote that. That's and I was like, yo, because he is, you know, very gifted.
Oh, yeah.
He's an intellectual as well. Yo. He's knowledgeable in these things.
Absolutely.
So for him to say you inspire him, I mean, it really highlights your importance in his life and also in the on the Ghanaian scene, Ghana music scene, and even in the diaspora. Yeah.
Indeed. And you know, sometimes you can doubt yourself. You are doing your thing. You are doing your thing. And you feel like, Charlie, no one is really feeling it. They might see it, but they are not really. But when you get these things, it's like, it's really making you understand that, you are doing something. You're on the right track.
When it comes to the production also for Afrobeats, do you have any observations?
I have a, you know, very big observation, and that is mostly we are using the Banloko in everything, when there are so many different rhythms, you know, from the north to the south to, you know, the east to the west. We have so many rhythms, and I feel like we should push them more. I've heard a few tracks using different rhythms, but we can do much more and much better, you know. Like a lot of us has grown up with, you know, our traditional or local rhythm, so I mean, we should know them by, you know, by heart. And once we go into the music, we should study it well and add it to the fold of what is being played, because most of the times that's what it is. You know, a beat may start with one sound and then go straight into the Banloko rhythm, so we can flip it. There's so much we can do musically that is really not being done,
right?
Again, commercially. You know, I'm hearing a lot of great stuff, kind of like underground.
Right, right. But on the pros, do you see anything that is worth celebrating? Anything that Afrobeats is doing that warms your heart? Like,
oh yeah, one thing that I love is that more musicians are using live instruments. More live bands are coming out, young guys and girls coming out and you know, playing live. So let's say that there's a solo artist and he gets a live band behind him, it gives a complete different feel and vibe. And I'm seeing a lot of that. Mm. You know, I recently had the opportunity to host Santrophy.
Right, yeah.
Who came to Sweden.
A huge Ghanaian band.
Indeed.
Making it big in Europe.
Yeah. And yeah, the vim they are coming with, you know, mixing the, you know, the Afrobeat with the traditional high life and even rock and disco and the fusion. I think more people coming out like that, it will change the sound of Afrobeat.
Before we close the conversation, you served a warning in a private conversation that we had. You served a warning about a change that is taking place on the music scene in Sweden, in the African community, where music that was traditional and cultural to the black community is now being, you know, taken over by other cultures. Not to say that music bars other cultures from exploring sounds that are not original to them, but of course, it's a worry. It would be a worry that where it came from, it's been neglected or, you know, left on the shelf for others to use. I'd like for you to, you know, speak briefly on that.
Yeah. I feel like the majority of music that we hear and we've heard from way back has been from us, you know, people from the, from Africa. And, you know, once, like, rock came in the 50s and became big, rock and roll, that was, you know, strictly copy-paste from, you know, African-American artists, you know, and you know, the blues, which obviously has its root in Africa, being the selling point. So you had artists coming, like, you know, Elvis, you know, completely taking, you know, black arrangers and musicians' work and utilizing it, you know, trusting his hips and doing things that we were doing and then becoming like the most popular artist. And since then, it's been going on and on. And it's been to that point that it's become the norm. So when once you mention rock now, you say, oh, Charlie, that's white music.
Yeah.
When it's probably one of the blackest musics there is. So and it's been ongoing in Sweden as well, because a lot of the times, you know, to find ourselves, or not to find ourselves, because if we found ourselves, we'll find that we are everything. But to find some solace in a community, a lot of the times, you know, black people in Sweden, as I grew up, were like, oh, Charlie, let's sit for this corner, which is hip hop and maybe reggae and R&B, and we could do there.
Right.
Instead of understanding that, you know, all
jazz and soul
is
and
is our music.
Right.
So, you know, me being a pianist, coming up in the scene, you know, there's plenty of black people in Sweden now, but coming up, you are only seeing, you know, white people in the jazz clubs and the jazz scene, and, you know, the open mic and jam sessions. I'm the only black guy with a piano coming. So I really want to kind of change that. And that's why in education, I'm very much connecting with, you know, people like me, much younger, and making them understand that, yo, Charlie, jazz is your music, you know. African music is your music. Gospel is your music. Like, rock is your music. Techno, house is your music. You know, all the music I mentioned is like, it's black people who actually started. So I feel like I'm trying to push that agenda to make people realize that this is you too. You don't just see that as a white music.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The album is out, hopefully by end of year.
Yes.
What's the title of the album?
Stakuyu.
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 Yes.
What does it mean?
It basically means, it's to honor my mom who gave me life. Her name is obviously Akuyu.
Okay.
But, you know, the young guys and girls in Ghana call her Sister Akuyu. But they say it so fast, so it's Stakuyu.
Right.
Stakuyu.
Okay.
Stakuyu.
All right.
Stakuyu.
Okay. Staku UN.
Yeah, so I call her that too. Right. Because, yeah, I've always seen so many people always call it Stack.
Right. And where to next? What project are you working on next? Where can people find you next in the world?
What are you up to? Quite a few things. Mm. You know, I'm doing something more with my brother One Love soon. Mm. I have the next single from the album, Gully. Mm. And we'll soon also release the third single, Bahati.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When it comes to teaching with the kids and your book, mm-hmm. and everything.
Yes.
Where can parents find you? Schools find you? Like, yeah.
Oh,
where's the next engagement?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on social media, mm. Mensa High Life everywhere. Stevie Niedu Mensa on Instagram. I'm very easy to find. If in Ghana, you will find me in Osajifu School in Laboni. Mm. And then my kind of like resident school in abroad is a school called Sätra Skolan in Sweden.
Okay.
But also, I mean, if you feel as a parent that, oh, you have to come to my school, you can hit me up online. MensaHighLife@gmail.com also is where I'm easiest to find too. And I will come to your school, speak to your principal and work something out. You know, I want to spread this internationally.
Right.
Because I can see how it really helps and inspires the children.
Mm. 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 Mensa is spelled M-E-N-S-A. You'll add the High Life, H-I-G-H-L-I-F-E. MensaHighLife@gmail.com. And you can easily find him. Thanks so much for talking to us today and sharing your story.
Thank you, Prince.
And we will be back next week with the team. Victor, thank you. Emmanuel, thank you. Elsie, thank you. Barry Musa, thank you. I am Prince Benjamin. Of course, I didn't do this alone, so shouts to the team behind me. We are back next week, Thursday, with another exciting edition of Creatives Corner. Keep safe.
Creative Corner is an Africa Global Radio production.